For a short documentary, Bigger Than Me covers a lot of ground.
The challenge would be the mentality that some of the people have about the outdoors. Because the main thing that I hear is the outdoors is white people's stuff. And it burns me up to hear that.
The film tells the story of Clark Brewer Jr., an African-American music artist here in Chattanooga, who introduces his own community to the outdoors, the most underrepresented group in these spaces. 5 years ago, Clark co-founded the program Bridge Chattanooga, and his new program is called Humans Outdoors. That's H-U-E-M-A-N-S. On Thursday at 7:30 p.m., the premiere of Bigger Than Me will be screened at Reflection Riding Arboretum and Nature Center. I spoke with Clark, Pablo Mazariegos, the film's executive producer, and Mark McKnight, president and CEO of Reflection Riding.
Mark, Clark, Pablo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell us more about Bigger Than Me.
The story is basically walking through kind of my last couple of years of taking kids and kind of teenagers outdoors, trying to walk people through where I came from, highlighting the prejudices or the psychological barrier that we as Black people or colored people or minority people, and even some of my white friends face, because some of them don't know how to necessarily engage with the community like they would like to. And some of them do know how to do that. And then on my end, with some of our kids, they don't know how to necessarily engage with different races of people because they haven't been exposed, and let alone be out in nature, because we're not known to actually be out in nature, hiking and climbing and being outdoors overnight.
You are from Chattanooga?
Yeah, born and raised Chattanooga, from the East Lake community. Spent some time in the private school. Actually co-started my outdoor program, Bridge Chattanooga. Launched my own program, Humans Outdoors.
And in the documentary, you share with us your story with a man named Ryan. Tell us more about how you two met.
So I met Ryan at a Causeway Challenge startup week. I got selected to perform at their block party. I performed, and Ryan, I didn't know who he was from Adam. He came up to me after my performance and asked me about meeting with him. And he said he's been working on some ideas. So I decided to meet with him. We came up with the idea of getting different, I guess you could say, nationalities, especially Black and brown people, outdoors. And we went around and had meetings and tried to make this happen for probably about 2 years. And then eventually, maybe around the third year, it stuck. Ryan and I actually had an opportunity to pilot the program for maybe, I think it was probably 3 months. And then those sponsors decided to sponsor us for a year to where we can actually do it for a living. And we ended up doing it for that year. And then we ended up being a success with the Delwood Middle School.
And beyond that success, Ryan had some struggles.
Uh-huh. Ryan had struggles that I didn't know of, probably. Maybe the same struggles that a lot of people face that they don't talk about. There was really nothing known. There was really nothing outward. It was nothing alarming. It was nothing intimidating. He had, I guess, his own struggles. Within that, starting our year funding of programming, me and my co-partner, Sarah, we found out that Ryan took his life. We had to step back for a couple of months, and then we eventually started again.
Even though he did struggle and ultimately take his life, there was something about how your path and his path intersected that touched him as a white male who loved the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
That lit a spark in him to lead to the work that you two did together, the work that you've carried forward beyond him, and this documentary.
Ryan is kind of the motivation behind the film. That's the underlying side of it. And it's also kind of highlighting our friendship and me, of course, continuing the mission of what he and I set, but also me trying to create new opportunities and new missions for myself of me being in this without him.
there's living the story, and then there is telling the story. And when we talk about telling the story, we come to you, Pablo.
Yeah, the behind story as to how this film came about was just me having a rough day during the pandemic, just scared or overwhelmed with my anger and my frustration. Life changes with parenting from home, working from home. I'm a marriage family therapist and I lead counseling groups in the schools. And just having all that kind of taken away was really hard. And on top of that, just, you know, with family and friends that I could not see anymore. During a day where it was really heavy, freaking myself out in the sense that I could just visualize and feel my anger, I just decided to go outdoors on a hike with my son. And I was mad at him and because he was just asking for so much attention. He was only six and he's telling me that he's tired of watching TV. So I was just wrestling with how do I balance my attention? So I decided to calm myself down. I was unconsciously, I said, let's go on a hike. And as I went on a hike here on Lookout Mountain, I quickly noticed once we got there, how much, you know, my mental state changed, my mood changed, just the way we were interacting. We went from being just frustrated and confused at life, whatever was going on at the moment, to just feeling a sense of wonder as we hiked around Lookout Mountain and came across these wild turkeys and these centipedes. And he was just mesmerized by everything he was seeing. That's when it kind of, you know, hit me. I was like, man, nature is good. It's satisfying. It's grounding. But then I also began to wonder, what are other families doing that do not have access or who maybe don't know how to come here, or they don't know that this is available, or maybe they don't know how to access this beautiful outdoors. You know, I just began to think of the kids that are in my counseling groups and just confused. I mean, just feeling sad for them, because if I was feeling like that, I'm sure there are other parents who are also struggling too. And then I just figured, you know what, we got to do something. And as I'm hiking, I'm also seeing that it is a predominantly white attendance there in the outdoors. And that's when I decided, let's do a story. Let's put a story together that inspires and breaks any sort of barriers for the local African-American community to partake and enjoy the outdoors. I can't make them. I can't make anyone come out. I can't go speak to policymakers to change the rules, or whatever it may be. But I can at least try to put a story together that will hopefully touch their hearts, their minds, and stir a sense of curiosity. And that's the only person I could think of at the moment was Clark. We met on a trip through the Footprint Foundation a few years back, and I met him and Brenna Kelly. So I reached out to them about putting a story together with a goal of kind of really inspiring the Black community to come outside with us. And so that's kind of been the journey. As the production kind of kicked in, as a counselor, I was really drawn to this sense of loss in Clark's journey and in Ryan's journey as well. I did not know that going in as to the magnitude and the just the heartfelt sense of the story. It was tough, you know, trying to figure out how do I balance this? Because suicide is painful. And so how do we balance all this? So after numerous edits, we were able to put something together. We started filming last fall and finalized production this spring. Obviously, the story speaks for itself. It's a really, really powerful story that I think everyone's really going to love.
Did you find along the way that sharing the story through this documentary was healing in any way?
I guess sharing the story was therapeutic for me, but I haven't talked about the story in so long because the story is really my life. So it was definitely therapeutic for me and I needed to get it out and I needed to say it in a way, I guess, to where I was kind of letting things go. And I think in the midst of it, I was letting things go. That was, I guess you can say, I held on to that I didn't know until we started shooting.
I'm a marriage family therapist. So my heart for story goes back to just being an immigrant. I was undocumented since I was 11 years old. And I always held on to that story to myself, fearing that sharing my story of being an undocumented immigrant would get me in trouble. As a kid, you fear that if I share this, that means they're going to come get my parents. That means that they're going to lock me up. They're going to send me back to a country that I don't know. So I was really experienced a lot of shame with my story. And when I got a chance to tell the story for the first time as an older adult, I just felt a sense of liberation, just a sense that it felt good. I graciously found someone that was a great listener and a caring person. And she welcomed my story. And after that moment, I learned that telling a story actually gave me an opportunity to kind of find a career. So that's part of where my journey of storytelling comes from, just me sharing my journey. And then just being a counselor, hearing people's stories. But due to HIPAA laws, you know, oftentimes those are just kind of have to remain private. And as a counselor, you're always, you're hearing these stories. And although the client may feel sad and embarrassed and hopeless, on my end, there's always a sense of, man, but you are moving on. Things are looking better for you. So was the interviewing therapeutic? I'm sure in many ways. But more than that, I think for me, what I took away as I interviewed Clark and as I learned his story, I was really inspired by how he pushed forward to pursue something that was very odd from someone from his community. That really touched me personally because I often find myself hesitant to either do video production or to do many things just because I'm still learning now. I'm no longer undocumented, but it's still because it was for so many years in my life, I often still feel that way and feel limited. So coming across Clark and his story and how he's pushing forth regardless of the status quo was really inspiring to me. And on top of that, this film was being produced during a very difficult and painful year, not just for us here in America, but globally, learning about the outdoors and his experience in the outdoors, while also kind of going on with all the police brutality, everything that was going on at the moment. To me, it was very surreal that I was putting this story together as our country, as the world was just kind of battling with not just the pandemic, but also a sense of social injustices. That will forever be a wild experience for me. That happened right around that time.
And Mark, when we talk about Clark's journey, Pablo's storytelling, and this documentary, we're talking about a lot more than just one journey and the outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent my entire career getting people outside, and it started in through actually with Dawson Wheeler when I was a camp counselor. I was at a camp called Alpine Camp in Mentone, Alabama, just about 45 minutes down Lookout Mountain into obviously Southwest into Alabama. And had such a great time getting young kids outside and ended up moving to Chattanooga to pursue outdoor retail and working at Rock Creek. And then, you know, my path kind of led a few different ways. But for me, it was always surprising that people didn't feel comfortable outside. And I think, you know, it was part of my culture growing up. I did grow up outside all the time. Not all just like the Rock Creek type of being outside, but hunting and fishing and all these kind of more traditional sports that, you know, my family just had always done. So for me, I don't want to say that I discounted people's fears, but I think that I underestimated the kind of cultural baggage that there is from the history of segregation, especially in the South. Just sense that people are not welcome in these places that for me as a white man, I was able to go anywhere and feel comfortable more or less doing anything. And so I think, you know, for us, and I was actually on the first Footprint Foundation buzz trip, very similar trip to what Pablo and Clark went on. And it didn't have an explicitly sort of racial purpose or theme to it. But when we had that really diverse group of interesting people from all walks of life, it's kind of where we got to. And we worked through all these different ideas about how to make Chattanooga better and how to foster more creative collaboration among different sectors. And we ultimately kind of got to this point of we need to do the hard work of creating relationships across racial and class lines and try to go. And this wasn't about the outdoors. I was just one of the people on the trip. But sort of what I have to bring to that is to try to get more people inspired, like Pablo was with his family, and make sure that people do feel welcome. Specifically in my role today, that means trying to get people out to reflection riding. And we're in a really unique location, and our physical infrastructure is such that it really does make for a great place for absolute beginners who, you know, I hear all these things, like the fears are everything from like snakes are going to be falling out of the trees, and, you know, bees are just going to come up and sting us. And of course, I always say, if you see a snake at all, you're fortunate, because they're trying to get away from us. I love it when I'm fortunate enough to see a snake. I'm outside all the time, and I don't see them very often. So, and then at Reflection Riding, you know, we have bathrooms and we have water fountains, and you're never too far away from that kind of culture and, you know, the safety of a built environment. We do have plenty of pollen, but we don't have a lot of really narrow paths where you're going to have trees bumping into you all the time. We have lots of big, open, kind of easy paths, a lot of flat paths. Some are accessible for wheelchairs and strollers and that sort of thing. We really feel like our function in this outdoor ecosystem is really to be the front door, or the welcome center, so to speak, to all the great things that Chattanooga has to offer. And I was giving Clark a little tour the other day of this new area that we have, where we've been inviting kids from around all over the community to come out and just spend time outside. And for a lot of these kids that we're seeing that are 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, even at that age, they've never really spent time outside, just kind of being and just looking at a plant and playing with its leaves and maybe digging in the dirt a little bit, or putting your feet into a little stream. And those are all things that we can do, and we can do safely. And so we're really excited to be in this conversation with Clark and with the people that he's trying to serve, with Pablo and the stories that he's trying to tell. We were one of the filming locations for this particular film, but also Pablo came out a few times during the pandemic. We met actually during the pandemic, thanks to Dawson Wheeler, who is the co-founder at Rock Creek and a longtime friend of mine. Somehow he got hooked up with Pablo, and he said, oh, well, Reflection Riding would be a great place to tell these stories because we just have all this great open space, and you could safely meet people and be obviously 6 feet or more apart from people without a problem.
Where can people go online for more information about how to see the documentary and for everything happening at Reflection Riding?
Check us out at reflectionriding.org. And I always say it's riding like riding a bike. So reflectionriding.org.
You can learn about the film and the premiere event at resilientstory.org. That's resilientstory.org. You can meet the cast and kind of learn everybody's background. And there's a trailer there and a teaser about the film.
All right. Clark, Pablo, Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.
For more information about Clark Brewer Jr. and Humans Outdoors, visit humansoutdoors.com. That's HUEMANS outdoors.com.